it's not very often that I offer a service that feels a little bit out of touch with the energy of the moment. So full disclosure, it was really dark when I picked this topic. And it is a little bit of a dark topic, but it's also full of possibility. And so we'll dive in anyway. The line, "a dark so deep that the tiniest light will do," that is really the possibility that exists in the dark. When things are at their most challenging, when hope is lost and despair is an all-encompassing companion, it's then that we realize that we can be changed by the smallest of experiences. It's then that the flicker of beauty we once took for granted, like the joke we laugh at or the antics of our animals, it is then that those things can become the lifeline we need in order to return to the world. The darkness actually teaches us how little we really need to be okay. And sometimes it teaches us how to make meaning out of chaos. And that doesn't mean we have to be grateful for the heartbreak or the despair or the loss or the tragedy, the shame or the terror. It doesn't mean that everything happens for a reason. It only means that when those awful things happen, it isn't the end. Even in the deepest dark, there are possibilities awaiting us. Love finds a way if we let it. I was first introduced to Gregory Orr, the writer of our poem today, through an interview that he did with Krista Tippett in 2020 on Being. And he knows something of the deepest dark. When he was 12 years old, on his first hunting trip with his father, he accidentally shot and killed his younger brother. And then he was left alone to deal with that grief because his mom was consumed with her own and kept her distance. And his dad chose to distract himself with affairs and amphetamines. Orr describes a process of living in a world that was suddenly devoid of all meaning. A life of pure inner and outer chaos where nothing made sense anymore. And so he adopted a life of isolation, nothing more than mere existence that was rooted in shame and hopelessness. But then at the age of 18, he took a poetry class and he credits Mrs. Irving with saving his life by giving him permission to transfer his unimaginable darkness into words on a page. What followed has been described as a lifetime of gentle, healing, life-giving words born from one of the most terrible traumas imaginable. His life became a lesson in how to carry what feels unbearable. I think it is true, I know it is true, that he would give up his poetry writing in a moment to have his brother back. It is not a thank goodness this happened so then this could happen. It is simply an acknowledgement that that moment was not the end of all of his moments. And we are all carrying some magnitude of grief in our bodies, our despair for the world and what the future might be, the death of a beloved, the loss of a marriage, an illness, or an injury. At any given moment, that grief can surprise us with its seemingly unbearable weight, and we know something of the deepest dark. But if we wait, if we let it, if we let the darkness do its work in us, if we stay accessible to learning, we will also know something of the possibilities that live there. Not that we needed the pain or that it was worth it, but just a tiny pinprick of light can make all the difference. After the national election on November 9th in 2016, Valerie Kaur, who I've talked about before, a Sikh activist and author, she wrote a prayer that she shared with the world. In that prayer lived a question that went viral, capturing the hopes of millions in one tilt of the head, one moment of perspective-shifting possibility. She said, "In our tears and agony, we hold our children close and confront the truth. The future is dark. But my faith dares me to ask, what if this darkness is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb?" I love that she asks that question, and I love that she prefaces it with, "My faith dares me." In those six words, she's summing up for me the reason I claim a religion. And to be clear, because I know words like faith can be a little tricky, I'm using it today as a descriptor and a synonym of your religious or spiritual system. I'm also using faith to mean whatever you believe in. So try not to make it any more complicated than that. As I mentioned, Valerie is a Sikh, which translates to mean seeker, student, or disciple. And sometimes people get confused and think that Sikhism is a sect of Islamic or Muslim religion, but it's not. Both of them are monotheistic, meaning they believe in one God, not many. But Sikhism believes that the creator and creation are one. There is no separation. Whereas Islam views God as separate and distinct from creation. You might recognize Unitarian Universalism in that shared oneness theology, embracing the belief in the interconnection of all. In other words, one of the things that you use share is that we do not believe that anything or anyone is separate from the divine. We are a part of it. Everything is. Having a personal faith, a belief system, is one of the ways to find the possibilities that exist in any given darkness. And the trick is to make sure that whatever belief you prescribe to is something that actually helps. It's something that actually feels true to you. What does your faith dare you to ask? Many of us have been hurt by the religious teachings and experiences of our past. Every story of the world, the heavens, good and evil, gods and goddesses, it was created to explain our existence, to do something with our fear, to create meaning. But unfortunately, all too often, when stories of the world have become an organized religion, the purpose of those stories then becomes co-opted into a way to control knowledge and behavior. Gregory Orr talks about the role religion played in his life after his brother's death, and he names what happens when religion is used to get out of the deepest dark too quickly. He calls it premature consolation. Premature consolation is the moment when someone tells you in your darkest time, "Oh, it's fine. They're in heaven." Or, "God has a plan. Everything happens for a reason." Or my favorite, "Not really. God must have needed them more than you did." Ugh. Premature consolation doesn't allow for real possibilities lying in the dark to be born. They try to close up the darkness like the tomb, big stone and all, and their grief lives, lacking a path to light, to transformation, to becoming bearable. You can't rush out of the deepest dark. You have to labor there. You must treat it like the darkness of the womb, which, as Valerie Kaur reminds us, means you must first breathe, then push. I think one of the great potentials, purposes of religion is simply to create containers for meaning making, to hold big questions like, why are we here? And why does any of it matter? Too many religions, I think, try to do all the meaning making for their followers. I will tell you what to believe, and then you will be okay. You do not have to labor in the dark, they say. But when we remove the personal experience of discernment, the meaning making, the meaning we hold becomes hollow and rote. I think that religion at its best is that container where we practice making meaning together, where we seek and doubt, where we listen and learn, where we change our minds, where we get grounded and settle in. And I believe that religion can inspire lives and behaviors that are grounded in the meaning that we make. It is and should be a place where we spend time together in the deepest dark, unafraid, to find the possibilities that live there together, where we don't have to be afraid of what we don't know and what we don't understand. And maybe where it becomes okay to realize that those possibilities waiting in the darkness might even be different for everyone. Just as each child is unique, the meaning that you find is not a threat to mine. Light comes from everywhere. Do you remember, those of you that were here, last week we talked about the transcendentalists who believe that we could and should experience the divine for ourselves with no mediators, and that the world is its own scripture meant to foster a personal relationship with the source or creator or God, however you name that, which is bigger than you. And Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was once a Unitarian minister who we claim, who quit after realizing he couldn't in good conscience perform communion anymore because it was devoid of meaning. He also said that we need to have active souls. What he meant was to be sure that we are participating in our own lives, that we are not victims to the darkness, but we are creators within it. He is also well known for saying, "Make your own Bibles. Gather together all of the poems and fragments and stuff that have shaken your spirit and sustained it. Create your own Bibles." Now, in so many traditional denominations, that is heresy. Please keep it to yourself. But in Unitarian Universalism, it is what we're called to do all the time. We let it all in. We sift through the wisdom in many religious traditions, in our own hearts and in science and in reason. It was Gregory Orr who said, "I think what we do is we read, we look, we create. When we're reading poems, when we're listening to songs, when we're looking at art, we're looking for the things that will sustain us. We're trying to creatively find what it is that's true and deep and sustaining for our spirits and the dignity of our own world. We're looking for what is true and deep and sustaining for our spirits and the dignity of our own world. The only thing we can't live without as humans, aside from those pesky physical needs like air and water and food, the only thing we can't live without is meaning. And unfortunately, very often, meaning is made most profoundly with wrestling within times of darkness. So I say, let us not be afraid to stay where things are hard. Let's wait, let's breathe, and let's push when the time is right. That November night in 2016, Valerie Kaur ended her prayer with words in the Sikh language of Punjabi, "Nanak Nanam Kardi Kala, Terbain Sarbat Dabala," meaning, in the name of the divine within us and around us, we find everlasting optimism. Within your will, may there be grace for all of humanity. May it be so, and amen.